Good morning. Thank you for being here. AI dominates everywhere. There is no shortage of talk regarding its future potential. Today, I'm excited to move beyond that hype and show you what we have actually done here. We have created a system that is designed to support our project managers' BI in real-time decision-making. My goal today is to focus on the theory and practical solution. So I want to keep this high level enough to show you how this tool actually works rather than going through the code. So just a heads up, this presentation, you'll see some lot of sci-fi visual to help demonstrate the data journey and the future we are building. So in today's talk, with the AI term, in today's talk, we are tracking the four main pillars. We will look at the specific problem, that the BI and project management and in the field of project management. And the methodology, which I will walk through on how we actually transform the raw data into actionable insight. Then we will look at the under the hood of the AI engine, the IT infrastructure, and how we optimize the model. And finally, we will share some of our performance data metrics of our model and framework we use to ensure our AI is fair and unbiased. Before I start, I want to say that this implementation is a direct result of the apprenticeship, and it has been a great opportunity to apply the training to our department-specific challenges. So, about the business problem, we are looking at one of the specific project management models known as the issues management. Since 2020, we have maintained detailed issues log. And today we are tracking over 200 active issues. That is over 17,000 words of technical updates. Currently, our project managers, PI, work package managers are maintaining this log as well as driving the project delivery at the same time. So, when a lead has to manually go through all of this and decide what needs immediate attention, it creates what I call as the priority gap. And this gap has got two major risks. So one is the latency. This is a typical delay to this is a typical delay about the issue being updated and stakeholder actually seeing it. In the multi-million project, time is a luxury which we always don't have. And the second risk is subjectivity. We often see a clash of perspectives. For example, a work package manager may naturally see an issue in their domain as top priority, while the project manager, looking at the project landscape, may classify that issue as a medium or low priority. So without the standards, we do not have the ranking become more inconsistent. Therefore, our PIs and project managers need to see the big picture instantly without spending without spending too much of time and digging every tool in single update. So that challenge we are solving is bridging that gap. So transforming all these fragmented technical manual logs into an immediate actionable intelligence. This is the entire map of our AI system. The model we use, the AI model, is 2.5 billion. This isn't a simple question and answer setup. It's a multi-stage hybrid pipeline where Python and AI work together. You can see the workflow is split into two stages. One is the stage one engineer extraction and the issue severity analysis. I'll talk about these two in a moment. But what makes this workflow special is how different gears work together. We have a Python script managing the high-precision tasks like pulling the data and calculation and data privacy matching. Meanwhile, the AI handles the language, that is the extraction, the severity and explanation and text summarization. So they all coordinate with each other. The entire process is controlled by the prompt module. So these are specific prompts that define the rules of engagement, telling the AI exactly how to think to ensure it meets our specific standards. I'll talk about the data privacy matching step later on, but in the next few slides, we will walk through the prompt and the AI engine and these stages. Now we are looking at the prompt module. So if you look at the map, what we just saw last slide, you are here. So this is a blueprint of our entire system. We keep our code clean by putting all our rules or prompts into this area. This makes our system very modular. So if we need to alter anything, the prompt or anything related to the instruction, and we only update in the prompt area. So the rest remain the same. For the earlier extraction, the prompt, we use the example to teach the AI, also known as the fine-tuning. And this tells the AI exactly what item to look for. For the severity analysis, that is the GET model, we provide the clear instructions so that the AI knows what to do. And the prompt is split into two parts, the system prompt and the user prompt, which I'll show in the next slide. The system prompt defines the AI profile and how it needs to act. And the user prompt is a set of tasks that tells the AI what to do. So what makes this area unique is the helper function we have built into it. They work like assistants. Before the AI looks into the role, these tools do the extraction, cleaning, and other tasks like privacy matching. And once the AI is done, these tools load the project data back into our database. By doing the heavy work of formatting here, we allow the AI to focus only on the reasoning and making it clean and simple. So to make this model work, we balance the AI with our local hardware and our data size. First, we use a method called quantization or optimization. This runs the model at a reduced size. It helps the system to run faster on our local cluster. It's a mathematical way of making the model smaller, so it uses the less memory while keeping the high quality. Our raw data comes from the process and moves through the helper function. And so, which we are on the other side, we have the prompt, which we actually talked about earlier, system and the user prompt. So, to do it together, we have the coordination layer that does the heavy lifting. And this layer also does the generator report. So, by keeping the rules separate and the coordination, we have created a system that is fair, fair, and ethical. So, we will look at the stage one, linear extraction. So, What does the NER stand for? The name entity recognition. So this is the area the AI will that automatically find the label or key information from the raw technical laws into a defined categories. So it's also known as the named entities. So under using our tool, we move to the middle layer where we do not look only the words, but we are finding 11 categories of data. By grouping them, we turn a line of text into an ordered database. So why are we doing this? The reason is standard database, which we don't previously have. I mean, we have a lot of documents, we have a report in the past, but they are not easily searchable. Therefore, we are building a base for the future knowledge graph and the AI training for using for the AI training ground. So this may show the data we find in 2020 or previous data is useful for PI and PM in 2026 and beyond. Moving on to the stage two, once we have the structured data, we must solve the project management dilemma. Which issue is a priority? So from the prompt, we have a defined set of instructions telling the AI what to grade between 1 to 10, depending on the nature of the issue. And this is happening fast and saving the hours and hours of manual work. In the past, ranking them was a matter of opinion. So one person says the issue is a high risk, while the other says that job is a medium. So our AI chopped up by us. Using those set of rules, if you look at every issue on a clear 1 to 10 scale. But we do not trust the AI blindly. We also felt the expect guardrails within the our rule, we have mandatory minimum. For example, if an AI finds a risk to a milestone or a lockup, loss of key staff, it cannot drop below that set level. This is how we put our expertise directly into the AI logic. So one thing we need here is the AI will look only about the grading and the reasoning, and the Python will do the math. Yeah. So, and making the entire process faster with minimum memory and of any computing requirement. So, from this, we have three distinct results. One is the board, the scoring. The other one with the project manager will look at the explanation summary of why AI has given that score. And for the reporting purpose, we will use the text summarization. Now we are onto the next pillar, the IT infrastructure and optimization. So our current infrastructure is this. It runs on our local cluster. It uses the powerful GPUs like NVIDIA 100 or Tesla 300. So we access these tools using Condo system, which manages the work across the world network in a common pool. A key part of this workflow is the data leakage. Unlike the consumer AI tools like ChatGPT or Google Gemini that send the data to the cloud, our system is entirely local because our laws are sensitive. We make sure no data leaks our internet network. To help model run fast, we have reduced the size for the methods, which we talked earlier, and we also process the data in batches. So instead of making the model too heavy, it becomes clean and fast. So in the future, we aim to build an AI application that runs seamlessly through the cloud object model. By integrating Python script to manage the logic framework and to coordinate complex workflows, deliver it automatic, no knives, need to plan at a service. So we have the hosted LLM access so that is managed by a group called AI for PPD. So that is run by Jen and Ben on the team. So we have to work. The advantage of this is the rapid development. So we can scale without managing the physical hardware and reduce complexity and allowing the developers to focus only on application logic rather than the infrastructure. So we have the two lanes here. One is the Alpaca and the Vicuna. The first one is it works like a ChatGPT or Google Gemini. You can use it. So you can pick whichever model to work best for you. So the only thing is it is private and free, and it needs your little bit of your login and you can use it. Or for the second link, if you want to run your own AI application on a fly, you can use the second link that is written now. So you can join our group to stay updated to find out more. So just want to highlight that this link, these two links work only for the within the PPT network. Now we are at the final pillar of the talk, model validation. During the initial stages, we have to decide which AI model to use for NVR extraction. So our first key indicator was the token throughput. So you simply put the token or a basic unit of text or think about a syllable or fragment of words that AI used to process and generate the language. Well, mathematically. So we have tested the NVR extraction process on the three models. So one is the Gemma-2 that is the 9 billion parameters. The other one is Mistral LM-2 12 billion parameters. And the last three is 22.5, that is about 14 billion parameters. So as you can see here, the total output. So the total output token is much higher than the rate. And it is important to clarify that this higher token output comes when comparing with other models doesn't mean the model is hallucinating or rambling. Instead, it proves the model is doing the heavy lifting. It is actually taking time to extract all the relevant data queries and provide the detailed reasoning we project in our prompt. And this is what we are looking for, the AI to understand what and how we work. And this is where it gets interesting. The Mistral Nemo, despite being a 12 billion parameter, is the same level as the Gemma-2, which is 9 billion parameters. So this suggests that the Mistral Nemo is maybe taking the torch or likely tipping complex entities or maybe failing to provide full analysis. And however, the smaller models often fail at this level of complexity. And we will look at the model performance on different categories in the next slide. So when we look at the total number of categories, that is 11 categories, so the attraction seems to be very high. So whether it's for organization or financial, etc., it is only about 14 average count. And this is in detail. So what is makes special, if you look at the technical term, so when I talk about the technical term, it means like FEPCA or PCB, the specific particle physics term, so where the other model could not identify it. So where the claim is able to tap all of this, to be able to follow what we want. This is the reason why we went for the claim. 2.5 billion pound. This is the general report, right? About how much time it has taken for the model. The total prompt is about 500,000. So the output is about 20,000. And the duration took about 12 minutes. And we don't have any problem about the path error. The GPU infrastructure, we had a maximum output utilization and the average about 300 or 200. Yes. So here we are talking about the stage two, the GUT story. So we see the actual output of our analysis. So out of 211 individual issues, the AI has applied this logic and given it objective distribution. So the 37% is about the high priority. So that means the project manager can be actually look at this. And then taking back to decide whether to look about this now or later. These are the very low issues. And but there's something interesting happening here. So we have something called unknown. So in the prompt, we have mentioned that if you don't find anything, so please let us know. So this is what has happened here. So this is where you have put the human in the loop. It's like for the human oversight. And this is how we manage from the flat test to the high speed workflow. So talking about the method. So the past error rate of 2.4, that is because there is a problem with the unknown. So that means the AI on the second from it didn't understand. So you need to go back to the prompt and check it again and then come back to it. And another thing is we do have some sticker issues and very high, but it did capture. So we need to check what is actually happening. So the test in general, we have about 650 tokens and these are the average tokens per second. So the whole thing run about 8 minutes. So it all the record being project. So in the second stage, we have the AI running the issues, triality, extraction, and the test summarization. So this is a total output what has happened at the every level. So we have, for the explanation step, we have about 400 tokens, and for the score, it's about 3,000. And the test summarization for the reporting purpose is about 177,000. And this is about 6 minutes. And so it has taken very detailed explanation. Now let's talk about the AI ethics. We do not want the fast AI. We also want the AI to be fair and unbiased. So the AI, the whole system is baseless if the entire system is biased. So how do we know that AI is favoring one project or the another during the analysis? How do we know if the AI is hallucinating? So whether is the AI decision system or we need all these modules that is fair, transparent, impart, and accountable, or other privacy or any partner society. So this is the area which we are currently tested. The first thing is human in the loop. Like we have seen that it has detected some issues, so we need to find out. So this is the first step. One of the things that to make sure the pair burner, and then we need to check whether it is making the proper result. So we do not let the AI go rampant, and we have to make sure there are some checks involved, as you can see in the performance results before. And to make the AI safe and fair, we have used a tool called the FairLearn, which is an open source Python library, accessing the internet of AI and models. It is very powerful. It allows us to see the balance between speed and fairness. We can also generate reports and pick the best ways to stop any bias we find. This ensures our system is stay neutral and treat every project with the same level of care. And then we have the framework by the government, and it has got a guideline and what and what not. We have to go through the length and to understand how we follow the rules and the regulations to meet all of the components. And we have to download and use the, we have the questionnaire where we have to about 100 to 200 questions. We need to go through them with all the stakeholders of the project, and we get to decide what are the trade-offs to be considered and making sure all essentials are met. And this is one of the reports that we generated from the fair lab. So the first one is called the fast success rate. So one of the projects it's only about 93% that we are seeing for 2%. And the other one is we wanted to check whether it has been computed or not and whether there are any issues or not. So this will give us the idea of what's happening using the Perlite module, Python module. And this is about the hallucination risk. So it's one to check all the things like the fast success rate and the error invalidation. And then we do the total what is happening. And then finally, we get some sort of warning, which is data warning. So that means we have, there is some problem with the structure of the prompt. So we need to check what's happening. And maybe there is a problem with the data. So that is what we are checking on. And you do have the data government report. So it gives you the update of what's happening of the entire project. So finally, the conclusion. This is the roadmap of what AI application are in the pipeline in the project office. In the next few months, we have something called task categorization. So where we categorize the financial data provided by the universities. These universities have got their own format or template. So we need to categorize them like the FL equipment or travel, etc. So this will help detail project managers, have a sharp manual work. In the near future, we aim to build the lessons learned from the data set which we are building up. So this will help us to not only for the future project, but also to understand what, if anything, has been missed. So we can use it for the development as well. Lastly, in the long term, so we have the predictive forecasting and the opportunities are like the people generation, and this is what we are planning to build up. So this ends my today talk. I'm happy to take any questions.
Yeah. Yes, please let's have some questions.
So a question about should the token outputs with the different models, and we're going to read the output to more tokens, and made a comment about making a decision on the quality of that. How do you determine that more is better as far as the tokens are concerned? Like you mentioned, rambling, how are you able to check that it wasn't just spewing?
So at the moment, we first run the model. So we see how many the output that is giving up. So then we will look at the output of every what we want to the region. So based on that, we check with the other model. And then finally, this is where we can have the conversation later on, like about the tokenization, to think about how we can use it in the future. Like,
Okay, because I was interested, the same reason why is they've got these different models, and seen some cases they behave in a biased way, and it's to check, to be testing these models for that. So I see you have this this fairness check software. Did you use that only just with Quent 3, or were you able to look at the others? Because I think it'd be
Not
interesting.
for
Right, again, you didn't see any. Did they all perform similarly, or was there any outlier?
Again, it depends. If you look only from the, let's say, Mistral, and you give the fairness check. But in the fairness, you have different, so many type of function where you can check, like hallucinating within the model. In only the same model. So there are various types that we are looking at it. So we can see like the type of token that is being used, or if there is any hallucination, or if there is any other thing, like the, for example, we will collect a name and we have the age range, so how the AI is thinking about it. So that then we can do all that kind of thing.
And you didn't see, do you see any significant differences between the models, or?
But it's almost similar. So when we talk about the, it's not much different unless in terms of the NER extraction. But in the second case, we saw a little bit of different. Like actually, gamma model is having a good quality because it being the type of the data set that is being trained on. But when you compare with the 12 model, it is about like slightly better.
Okay, we could be interested to talk to you more about it later.
Yes. I mean, we have different type of one of them is the pair. We have another thing like AI4. So we can do some testing on this thing as well.
I didn't quite understand how the validation works, where you're from the point of view of the human in the loop, in that is the other, do you have then people checking or experts checking that the output of the model for a subset, or I mean, how do they, because they, if the people can do everything, then you don't need the AI. So how do you?
Going back to this. So we have the explanation summary. So for every score that the AI tool takes for, the PM or the BIs will read that explanation summary. So that is a human in the loop. So for example, I mean, they don't go through all of the issues. So our idea is that we want to look at the top 10 issues or top 3 issues. So, and that we filter them out, and then we will look at the explanation summary. So there is where the human in the loop happening.
So the PI will check that summary.
Yeah. And
But
then
if it's marked something as not critical, as no,
yes.
how do you check? Do you have some fraction of those also checked that they are
Yes.
that they really are low priority?
Yes. I
You
mean, we
think.
had that incident happen because one of the actual issues is actually important, but it has gone to very low. So that is where the fairness help us to find out. I mean, there's some issue with the structure. So there are two ways happening. One is the problem with the JSON format of the prompt. And the second one, if you remember the prompt module, and we need to define them. We need to highlight what are the problems that we are facing, and we need to define clear. So then, for example, we have a setup example to highlight, okay, for this issue, it needs to be the high list or higher priority or medium. So if a PI or a PM say that, okay, this is the calculation is wrong, then we go back to the prompt and we add that example back to the prompt system. So then again, we run retest your model again. That's how it works.
Yeah, what fraction of all the things are checked by human at the moment?
So far, the three project managers are doing each one of them because,
they're all checked.
I mean, because we are implementing this for the first time, so they go through all of them.
I see.
But once the next time, when the new issue gets added up, it doesn't run the whole thing once again, but it checks a new issue and it gives the report on that particular new issue. So, for example, the issues are added up like maybe two or three times in a week. So sometimes it can be a lower issue or a higher issue. So it keeps running whenever the issues are added up and it gives the prompt in between. So at least we set up a type of every Friday to run the issues and give a very short report. Saying that, okay, for this issue, what has happened this week, these are the problems, these are the score. And then we compare with the entire data set.
Yes, sure.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Do you get reproducible results if you run this twice?
Do you mean that whether it's been
so you run this loop and then you get your text summarization and your explanation summary. If you do that the same twice on the same input, do you get the same
results? From the AI point of view, it runs like first it runs on the exponential summary. After the mark calculation, it runs the exponential summary. After finishing this, we come back to the text summarization.
You have some set of things you're doing. Do you get the same result if you do it twice?
Oh, okay, got it. When we run it, yes. And because that is where we define in the prompt, we made sure that we highlighted that, make sure that it doesn't change every time. So we did that test before. When we give a generalized prompt, the result was changing maybe two or three times. But then we made a series of checked up prompts. And then when we run for the second or third time, it remained consistent. Unless when the project managers, because the issue doesn't remain same for the entire project, so it keeps changing. So maybe after 2 or 3 weeks, they update the issue. So again, it runs it. And then it also highlights, we wrote the prompt in such a way that it also highlights what is the previous score and this is the current score. So that is one of the checks. Thank you for that idea. That is one of the checks that we are going to put. What was the previous and if there is any changes that has happened.
Okay. And then a kind of follow-up question. So if you run this on an experiment like June, so June is a there is public information out there. Right. So there are articles in New Scientist saying June is a deeply troubled project from 3 or 4 years ago. So then that sentiment analysis goes into the LLM, which then thinks differently about that compared to, say, Hyper-K or Atlas or CMS, depending on publicly available information that it has. So if you tried changing the experiment name, so you could change it to a generic one that doesn't exist, you could start calling it good experiment or bad experiment. And see if it actually makes a difference to your output.
To try to avoid that, this is one of the Fairlearn Python modules. It has one feature that we can find out whether the AI is biased or not. That's one of the things that I'm touching on. But the second one, again, back to the prompt, that we need to make sure, again, we define that particular prompt saying that, okay, you need to follow this and do not, you know, the do not provide any other idea apart from this only.
But there's a difference between putting something in the prompt and knowing that the AI is actually doing it. So, I mean, they always, you can say in the prompt to be fair, but I don't know if you can verify that it's being fair without trying to trick it somewhere.
So in that case, when we look at the result from the, you know, the PI or the project manager, with that where we look at the text summarization. So we try and see if there's any change in the behavior or something like that. So that is one of the checks that we look at the moment.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
That was full of overlap.
Can I, sorry, this is a very specific question. If you're running on the PPD AI machine that Jens set up, I understand. What sort of times do you run this? Because
no.
I'm also using this one.
No, it's not.
It's a different
one. Sandeep's running these as condo jobs, right?
Yeah.
So they get submitted to the same type of machines, but because this machine is taken out of the queue,
right,
they're not competing. He's competing with other people submitting GPU jobs.
Okay. Maybe I should do this. I'm just wondering whether we'd be competing. not.
That's good.
So that's quite interesting that these are run as they can run on many machines, can they?
Yes. I mean, we have only set up 4 or 5 GPUs. So what I have done is in the Condor and the Flip job, I have set a time like every Friday about 6 o'clock in the evening, so after the end of the day. So, and I try to see if there is any other, whether the GPU is busy on those time. I try not to interrupt or disturb related to lab experiment or anything.
It's a 12-minute job. I don't think it matters.
Yeah, if it's a 12-minute job once a week, not a week.
But I think because of the condo job setup, it runs based on the priority, maybe.
Sorry, they're just wondering whether that seems to be quite, if you're always running it on a Friday evening, is that the best time to get results? Because people then don't have time to look at them until Monday. Would it be?
Normally, then, for the last week of progress, we will look on Monday. So we have the system set up. So for the previous week, last week of the update, like in the schedule, will be updated on Monday. So we collect all the data that has happened until the Friday. So at the moment, nobody's looking on Friday, but the report that is generated, it goes to the email, and they're looking at whenever time they have got.
So going back to the issue severity analysis stuff. So the main purpose of that is to generate this summary document, is it, that would then be read by PIs and PMs, or is that for task managers or workstream managers as well?
It depends. I mean, normally the three all we call it that project stakeholders, so who are still involved in that particular work package or something like that. So normally, the project manager will work along with the PIs or work package managers, and they coordinate with each other.
Yeah.
So whatever the project manager set up information will be shared correspondingly.
Okay. Yeah, so because in that case, so I work on one of the workstream managers for the CMS upgrade side for the hardware work package. And so there we have chats with Lay every month or two, to update on the issues. And then we also update the risk register as a result of that. But then what I was thinking was that at that stage, then we're effectively ranking the severity of each of the issues in the risk register itself, right? So then, yeah, we've kind of fed in all of the information. We know all of the information for this. So the main purpose is then for the DI to be able to read this as a summary, or?
Yeah,
I'm trying to think out of this into the workflow.
Yeah, I mean, that is what we plan. At the moment, this is particularly the risk management, because the project managers are focused more on the project and the risk register, so they are handling it by themselves.
Yeah.
At some point, we will do the AI on the risk register as well. But we have the, in our primary software, we have the our own Monte Carlo analysis, and yeah, where they feed into the information and they calculate and they come back to it. So because sometimes the issues are too long or too, it changes all the time, very frequent. So they need some sort of summary of what happened, and then they decide what happened with the risk register or something. So normally, I think from the issues, we update the risk register and
Okay, but then the future change that you mentioned around the AI and the risk register, would that be one of these AI setups taking the risk register that the project workstream, the workstream managers have updated with the project manager, and using that as input, and then using that to do some kind of analysis of likely future costs?
Yes, when we talk about the future, I mean, I would expect not near future,
yeah,
because it is very sensitive,
okay,
management.
Yeah.
So we need to understand a bit more.
Okay.
So once we get comfortable about it, and then we start working on the concept of the AI model.
Okay.
But as soon as we start, we will come to know about it. This is one of the pipelines that is happening in the future or not. So at the moment, we are looking at the gap for categorization, taking a bit of time.
Yeah.
Because you need to analyze the data, the financial data. So, so hopefully, maybe after this, maybe we'll be looking at the risk register, hopefully.
Okay. And that would be to rank items based on the risk register?
We do have the system. I mean, already we have the software that is automatically calculated.
Yeah.
But at the moment, the project manager, they're feeding the numbers.
Yeah.
So again, once we collect that information, at some point, we will again define the prompt and then make it work similar way.
Okay.
But you need to be a little bit careful. Then that is about the risk, and because there is other factors, you know, like the cost and the time and the schedule.
Yeah.
So you need to find out like how they work together. I mean to say that becomes a big pipeline. So we need a bit of time to look on that.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, in a sense, I would have thought the risk register is easier to analyze because it's effectively just a set. Actually, what I remember is that it's a set of numbers of the probabilities and the cost ranges associated with risks. And so that's already quantitative, whereas so it could just be ranked based on that without AI, whereas the issue is the text. So maybe lend themselves more to a text summary.
Yes, and one of the factors is the Monte Carlo, which we haven't started working on that yet. So we need to understand a bit about the Monte Carlo, and then we'll start looking at the AI part. Because we need to run the model for the Monte Carlo the iteration, like 2000, 2003.
Yeah.
So this is where we don't really understand that Monte Carlo analysis from the AI point of view. and doing. But
would you consider replacing that Monte Carlo analysis with an AI one instead?
No, I mean, if you are talking about the normal calculation,
yeah,
that can be done. But we want the Monte Carlo as well, because we want to, let's say, analyze the delay in path and the schedule or the cost and what, how much the probability are 50% or 90%. So the running the basic calculations is very easy, but the application of Monte Carlo is where it requires a little bit of detail understanding. So which is why we are relying on our primary software to do that sort of analysis for us at the moment. So at the moment, that is why we are manually feeding it. We are trying now.
Okay.
We have a raised hand on Zoom. Chris?
Yes, I think... Christopher
would like to speak.
Yeah, it was just about the question before about potential bias on the sentiment analysis, say if a project has got into the news. I think my understanding is that this is a completely closed system, so wouldn't actually have access to the news, so this wouldn't creep in. Is that correct, Sandeep?
So the
question was, depending on when the model was trained, that knowledge is part of the model because it might have been based on text that is out in the open. So once it has no access to external systems and can't query the web, it might have been trained in that way beforehand. And it's a bias that is inherent to the model that then needs to be, you need to figure out whether it's in there or not. Sorry, paraphrasing Stuart.
Yes, Christopher is happy. Okay. Oh, we see him. Okay, so are there other questions? I have one last question, maybe. I was curious how you measure how you quantify the input data. And we lost the slide. But I think on the first slide or second one, you had the number of words. So could you explain a bit what the meaning of that is? It looked like a little number of words, but maybe it has another meaning, which... So what is this amount of data that your users or that's available at the moment?
At the moment, we have the issues log. When we work in the project, we entered all that information. Like, for example, there is an issue with an PCP or FCPA or anything sort of that. So it extracts all of that information and it counts all of it. And we track and we study from the 17,000 words. So that is the input data. From the issues log.
So you only use the issues log?
At the moment, because we are focusing on the issues management, so this is going to be a specific model of the project management, so we are focusing on the issues log. So this is the data that we've got from here. And this is only for the open issues only. So we have closed issues, which is more than 1,000 or something. But this is only the open issues, about 200 issues.
Oh,
for the
entire project that we are managing. Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you very much. So let's thank Sandeep again, and we close the session. Yeah, please take some cookies and
lunch.
And lunch. Lots of applause from Zoom. So it was very nice.
I know.
Thank you.